The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. There's lots and lots of news going on. We've been getting into a fair bit of it the last few programs. I'd just like to start the show by drawing your attention to a few items at the trumpet.com that have been there either today, yesterday, or maybe one of these is from a couple of days ago. But Andrew Miller has one, Healthcare Will Bankrupt America. That's getting quite a few headlines, or at least that subject is getting quite a few headlines, and really, all that is going to be done, if anything, is it's just a replacement with something that's very similar to it, maybe an Obamacare light. But Andrew, in his article, gives the big picture, and you can read that at thetrumpet.com. I don't think it's right at the top, but three or four articles down, if you scroll, will bring you to his piece. Another one. And this one is more recent. It was at the top earlier this morning. America is asleep to the danger of North Korean nukes. That's by Richard Palmer, also an important subject and one that's been in the news for some time and maybe not even getting the attention that it should be getting, as Richard brings out. And then finally, the Palestinians are preparing for another intifada. That's by Brent Noctegal, our Jerusalem correspondent. This is a subject we've been examining quite a lot over the last week, and Brent's piece does a really good job of just comparing this latest round, this uprising, with what happened back in 2000. I forget the Israeli leader that visited the Temple Mount at that time, and it led to an explosion of violence, just a visit to the Temple Mount that then gave the Palestinians an excuse to say that Israel was trying to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Temple Mount, and that led to an intifada which resulted in thousands of lives, thousands of people dying in that round of violence. And are we seeing the same thing today? Well, as I said yesterday, Israel's removing the metal detectors, but you're not really seeing much of a change. And the rhetoric coming from Mahmoud Abbas and some of the other Palestinian leaders, they don't want Israel to do anything. And Israel's talked about having, some more sophisticated technology to screen people, that sort of thing. And that's not flying over very well either. In any event, read Brent's piece. It's an excellent overview of what we've been seeing happen here in the last couple of weeks. Well, we're gearing up for our Philadelphia youth camp. It's a chilly 65 degrees right now here at Edstone. As Brad McDonald told a few of us the other day, at the Edstone summer camp, we pray for the weather to heat up, not to to cool down. It's a nice day, though. We had a little bit of rain this morning, and we actually need that because it's been, for the most part, it's been fairly dry this summer. So cooler temperatures, but still fairly dry weather. And we're already hearing some of the sounds of PYC as teenagers are arriving from all over the world. And we're gearing up for our orientation lecture tonight. For radio, over the next couple of weeks, we've got some exciting plans in place. There will be a few substitutes along the way, some special guests, and hopefully some special segments. So you can look forward to that, and hopefully we can keep you up to date on the latest headlines in the news, as well as what's happening right here with our young people at Edstone for the next couple of weeks. If you'd like to email the program, I'd like to give you maybe a little more of a specific request in that you email the show about your experiences with God's youth camps, whether the PYC youth camp or if long before that, like me, you attended the summer educational program with the Worldwide Church of God. Whatever it was, if you'd like to email us some of your experiences, perhaps the impact that PYC or SEP have had on your life. We'd really like to see what you have to say and perhaps read some of those comments on the air. This one here, I'm going to start with an email. It's not about PYC specifically, but this is from one of our regular listeners who is very appreciative of just the emphasis that the church puts upon family, and for obvious reasons. He begins by saying just how awesome the all of the archives are. He's gone through so much. He's been around for 3.5 years in the PCG, and he's read mostly everything, and he's just amazed and inspired by this work and the truth of God. And he says then further in his email, "Wonderful success is reported of all the growth in the colleges and the amazing talents and successes of the children." He says, "It's actually serious correction for me. I thank God," he writes, "for showing me and helping me to get my mind focused on family and staying focused on the most wonderful hope that is to come." He says, "This work is more than words can describe, and my praise is utterly insufficient for the glory that he has wrought in his bride, the growth and wonder that is able to be seen by this world. In the church is truly condemning to this generation. The saddest part is they cannot see, but I see with watery eyes and a poured out soul before our Maker." He writes, "Great is the living God who is recreating himself. It's awesome. God truly has shined the beauty of his glorious mind and the reason he created mankind through this absolutely beautiful family." He says, "God bless your children and your fields with rain, both physically and spiritually." He says, "Peace be with you, and I give thanks to all the staff and technicians who are producing glorious fruits. I will make mention of the godly women who keep this family thriving and excelling. God bless your father," he writes to me. "He's a very wonderful man, and we can measure this in how productive you and the rest of your family are." So some kind remarks there about this family work. That's what it is, because it's a God family vision. And over the years, there's a lot of resources that have gone into the youth programs to bring these children up in the way that they should go, as the proverb says. You think about all of these youth camps, Oklahoma, now Edstone. We have them in the middle of, our winter. Their summer down in Australia. I think Philippines has their PYC in April or May. I forget which months exactly. But all of these youth camps on 4 different continents, it's pretty amazing. The youth programs, the Imperial Academy, which if you add online students, I mean, that, the reach of the academy spreads right around the world as well. The music and the dance programs. Just a couple of weeks ago, we completed the Teen Talent Contest. That's an annual event sponsored by this church, with teens from all over the world submitting their artwork or videos or photography. And of course, there's the live contest for those that are in Edmond to sing or to dance or to play an instrument. And of course, there's the college, the Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong College, the Edstone and Edmond campuses. The Jerusalem Dig is largely a youth project, because that's who works on it. Students or alumni that have come out from Herbert W. Armstrong College. And then the publications, all the writings, and it's not just like it's limited to True Education or the youth Bible lessons. Those are valuable tools as well. But there's so much, even in the regular books and booklets. Like this one from the Key of David, my father's booklet, the Key of David. He says, "Mr. Armstrong dedicated many resources to help the young people of God's church. He fully understood that young people and adults must be taught how to be God's royalty." He says, "One of the ways we instruct our young people about being royalty is through our summer camp programs. This was a tradition started by Mr. Armstrong. And so we're following along in that same tradition. We're following along in those steps of Herbert Armstrong. I've got a few clips today from his messages. Most of them come from a message that he gave at PYC, or rather SEP, back in 1979. We can start with this one. This would be clip number three.
Now, I want to say to you that we have programs coming that are going to involve, in a far greater measure, the children and the young people and teenagers in God's church and in the families of God's church than we have ever had in the past.
That's Herbert Armstrong in 1979 talking about what he had in store, or what he felt like God had in store for the church during the 1980s. That decade, which in so many ways I think could be considered the golden age of youth programs in the Worldwide Church of God. And you can see there, God's servant really putting an emphasis on those youth programs, saying that we're going to do it like we've never done it in the past. The YOU programs, I was involved in so many of those myself, going through my teen years during that decade of the 1980s, and then on into Ambassador College. And, of course, Mr. Armstrong was the one. We've now followed again. We've followed in those same steps, but Mr. Armstrong was the one that realized back in the 1940s that in order for the church to grow, the work needed a college. He says this over and again in the autobiography. He writes, "We reached the crossroads. This was to be the real test. Ahead now was the possible transition from a small, struggling, virtually one-man work to a major-scale organization exerting a powerful influence on humanity the world around." He says, "Ambassador College was to provide the only possible means. It was to be the recruiting and training center, integrating into effective organization those whom God would call to surround me to become this Christ-led and Spirit-powered organism." Later on in the book, his autobiography, he says the results of the college were beginning to show. So it was off and running now, and even a few years into it, they could see the fruits. He says, "Without the college, the work never could have expanded much beyond its status in the 1940s. He says later, "This is the work of God, and the work of God required a college." And then later, "Without the college, the work of thundering Christ's gospel around the world could not have been possible. It could never have gone around the world. It was the development of the college in Pasadena that made possible the growth of the whole gospel work." The growth of the whole gospel work. And so, as the college grew, so did the work. So did the work. And the reason for this is because, as Jesus said over in Matthew 9, there's just always a shortage of manpower in God's work. I mean, we're a very small church in so many ways, but we have God. And so that makes us big. That makes us the most powerful organization that there is on this earth, because we have God and His power and His presence. But God works through human instruments. And the more human instruments that come along, the further the work will go. That scripture I referenced there a moment ago, Matthew 9, you can read the last few verses of that chapter where Jesus, you know, when He saw the multitudes, and He had compassion on them. And then He told His disciples, "Look, you better pray for more laborers, because we've got a big work to do. And so pray for laborers. Pray for young people to come along. Pray for more disciples or students." He said that in verse 38, "Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." God will send them. And a lot of times He sends them through these many youth programs. It's the most important group that we can reach. I'll read that to you later. And Mr. Armstrong really mentions it in some of these clips as well that I'll play for you today. But look at, just look at, he was writing in the autobiography there in 1950, 1951, after just a few years, after just a few years that the college had been in existence. And he was talking about the fruit that the schools had already produced. Well, here we are in 2017, and Armstrong College started in 2001. Imperial Academy, oh, I forget the exact year, 2000, maybe 7 or 8, somewhere in there. But look at how much the work has grown. Look at just how much the college campus has grown in Edmond since the establishment of the college in 2001. When we just had the one building, the John Amos Fieldhouse, that was it. And look at how much the campus has grown, the college with it, the student body, and, of course, the work. And now we've got a campus here in Edstone that's been up and running for 2.5 years. And what a beautiful, beautiful place this is where God has placed his name. What a millennial setting for these campers coming in tonight. A beautiful atmosphere, an uplifting and wholesome place to have all kinds of wholesome activities, blessed of God. Mr. Armstrong, in that 79 sermon, he talked about just how thankful he was that the youth programs are going to take on a special significance. How thankful he was to be able to emphasize the importance of parent-child relationships. All sorts of opportunities and growth and development. And you can see why God puts so much emphasis on young people. It is, after all, the God family vision. God is reproducing himself. God's reproducing himself through family. God wants children. He wants children to come out from the marriage between Jesus Christ and the church. These are not far-out ideas that aren't scriptural. They come right out of the Bible. They're grounded in truth. The world doesn't know, though, because the world is blinded to this truth, as it says in John 3. Other passages too, 2 Corinthians 4. Blinded to the light of the gospel, to the truth of the gospel. And the reason for that, you can read about it in Genesis 3, all the way back in the first book of the Bible. Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24, where after Adam and Eve sinned, God expelled them from the Garden of Eden and then closed off the tree of life. He closed them off from the way of the tree of life. And Mr. Armstrong was learning more about this, the significance of what happened in the Garden of Eden, even up until the last year of his life. He wrote about it in Mystery of the Ages, saying that he didn't really understand the full significance of what happened there at the end of Genesis 3. And the fact that God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind until after Satan would be removed from the throne of this earth and Jesus Christ would assume control on that earthly throne. God cut man off from knowing his purpose and plan, except for a tiny few, not because these few are God's favorites, but because Jesus Christ needs a wife. And the first fruits are called to help Jesus Christ, to be a helpmeet, to be a complement to the work that Jesus Christ does in raising a family. That's what God's been doing these past 6,000 years, bringing a few into his church. Jesus himself said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, God has to open that individual's mind to even be able to understand, just like I read from that email at the start. Here's someone that's come out only in the last few years, and now his mind is open to the truth and he can't get enough. Everyone else in this world, potential sons of God, their minds have yet to be opened to this truth. Notice what, and this is what astounds me in this 1979 message that Herbert Armstrong gave at the youth camp is, I mean, he's receiving new truth, new understanding here, and I mean, he's giving it to a group of young people. This is clip number 4 from that same sermon.
Now, even our members don't understand that. I can't pound that into even our own members. God has revealed that to me, and I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. I want you to believe it. God has not called people just for salvation. God is going to call everybody for salvation in the end.
Everyone will have their opportunity in the end, but only the few are called today because of this work, this job that needs to be done for God, His purpose, His plan. The Bible says Jesus is the first of the first fruits, and then those coming into the church, those that God calls out of this world, they are the first fruits. And when you look at the 7 annual festivals, again, revealed in the Bible, the meaning and the purpose behind them, you have the small spring first fruits harvest, and then the much greater fall harvest when everyone has an opportunity for salvation, just like he said there at the end of that clip. Here, Mr. Armstrong was there at a youth camp telling God's young people about how special their calling was, and even telling them pointedly that some of their parents weren't getting this. Some of their parents didn't understand this as deeply as they should have. What a special calling we have in God's church. What a special future. What a special opportunity our young people have right now and in the future. It says in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14 that our children, if there's a believing parent, it says that our children are set apart and holy. They're not cut off like the rest in this world. They're sanctified. They're set apart. They're holy if they're being brought up in the way that they should go. Again, Mr. Armstrong wrote about this, spoke about it frequently. He said that if your child, I mean, if you're a converted member of God's church, then those children are not cut off from God. They have access to the tree of life, something that Adam and Eve did not have after they sinned. And so the way is wide open for them to come along into this, to get behind God's work. And when they do, and I've seen it happen so many times, working with God's college and those students that come into the College of God for the past 16, 17 years, the change in lives, the growth, the contribution they make to God's work, the opportunities that God gives to them, and then their children. So many of those early students at Armstrong College, I mean, they've now got older children as well, maybe 6, 7, 8 years of age. Some, maybe a few that are even older than that. As the vision just extends on into these new little ones, their lives. Mr. Armstrong said back in 1979, he was speaking a lot and he was writing a lot about the youths because God was making such an impression upon his mind. And he told the brethren of God's church in this one article that the church wasn't even showing half the growth that it should have been showing from the oncoming generations. And he said, this shows that we're neglecting. This means we're neglecting our children. I mean, they should be coming along into this. They should be part of this. They should be backing and supporting this gospel work going around the world. He said that when God called you, the parent, the father, the mother, He meant for your children to also be called into the work. There's no if or maybe about it. It's a family vision. My father wrote in the Isaiah booklet, we are going to teach the world what God taught us through Mr. Armstrong and a great deal more. God's colleges will be established all over the world. Multiple millions of churches will be established. We're going to fill the earth with God's truth. How do you do that? Well, it started on a very small scale, but I mean, when he wrote that in Isaiah's End Time Vision, it was just the college campus. I mean, I guess if I go back far enough, it might have even been before the college started. But let's suppose he wrote it in the 2000s, and we had the one campus, the one small campus in Edmond, and now there's two, and the vision is expanding. Soon it's going to fill the earth. And that's what we want to really try to get across to our young people, to our children today. The fact that they're part of this royal family legacy. They're princes and princesses, like it says over in Psalm 45. That's a passage or a psalm that we go through often at PYC and in the lead up to the PYCs. What a legacy. It's a family legacy. In the Key of David booklet, my father said, we must continually remind our young people that they are God's princes and princesses of the earth. They must be taught and encouraged to uphold that royal standard, to act like God's royalty today. That's what we have to continually teach them. That's what we have to continually remind them. They're royalty. They're preparing for rule. They're preparing to lead. They're preparing by standing up for God today and learning how to be an ambassador, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5. Ambassadors for Christ. What does it say over in Isaiah about the ambassadors of this world? It says that in the end, they're going to be weeping bitterly. All of the leaders, the diplomats, the ambassadors, the royalty of this world, they haven't been able to solve the problems of this world. And so God is raising up a new royal administration that would include the children of those called out of this world so that they can set foot right into those positions, those royal positions, those positions of responsibility as soon as the kingdom of God is established on earth. My father says in the Key of David booklet, the main lesson we need to get across to our young people is how to live the rich and abundant life now. Then they can help teach the whole world. He goes on and talks about what this world has to offer. All of the glitter and the glamour of sinful living. But the fun in that, if there is any, the fun of that is just temporary, and there's always a kickback. He says, when Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God, abundant living will begin for the whole world. No human being can truly imagine what life will be like in the millennium unless we let God show us through the Key of David vision. If we let God show us through this royal family vision, we can know today what life will be like in the wonderful world tomorrow because we can live it. We can experience it today. We can experience it at God's camps, God's youth camps. We can experience it at God's college. We can experience it in God's church. We can experience it in our homes, in our families. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email us about your youth camp experiences. Tell us when you went to camp and where you went to camp and how those youth camps impacted you and your family. I already said you're listening to me, so we'll just go right to the promo. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as his own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That he calls human beings his children because he wants to be their father? This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly 6 decades. If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Now that is the message that is new, has never been preached in this church before, and you were the first congregation or audience to hear it. And it is new knowledge to me, it's new knowledge to you, and it is tremendous knowledge. And the church is going forward now on a program of helping parents to get close to their children and to counteract this thing of Satan getting to the children while they are even infants and getting to them real young.
That's from that same message, 1979. This tremendous knowledge that Herbert Armstrong was giving to a group of teenagers, telling them about how the church is now going forward on this program of helping parents get closer to their children so that they can teach them and counteract Satan's influence and help them and bring them up in the way that they should go. I mean, I mentioned all the programs that the church sponsors, and there's a lot, so many resources, the manpower. I mean, we've got quite a lot of manpower here working at the Edstone Camp for a relatively small group of youths. And then, of course, just the money and the time and the attention. There's a lot that goes into it. Is it important? Is it important in God's eyes? What does God think about these programs? Well, even with all of those programs, you think about how difficult it would be to bring a young person along if the parents weren't involved, if the parents weren't preparing them for the academy, for the college, for this marvelous truth, for baptism, for marriage. Parents, of course, are the primary educators for their children. But if they're brought up right in a godly house and then they embrace this God family vision, so many rewards are there. Mr. Armstrong, of course, was devoting a lot of time, energy, and effort, resources and such to those programs in the late 1970s, early 80s. He was stressing in that sermon from 79 that God has a very special interest in teenagers. And he said also in that sermon that if you go back early enough in his ministry, he didn't quite know all of this. I mean, he mentioned there in that last clip that this was new knowledge. And it was knowledge that Mr. Armstrong accumulated over the course of decades. Earlier on, I mean, he wasn't quite as focused on the youth, even the young people in his own household, as he says in this next clip. This is from that same 79 sermon, clip number one.
So God has a very special interest in teenagers. And I'm afraid we haven't been cognizant enough of that fact in the past. I know that when my daughters were young and I was first converted, my whole mind was on the Bible and the things I was finding there. And somehow, I don't think I had enough time for my children, because I had two daughters at the time. And then two sons came along 10 years after the two daughters and after my conversion. But even so, my time was so filled up with the Bible and getting the work of God going and things like that, that I didn't have the time that I should have taken. I had the time. That really makes me think about when I was in high school, back about where some of you have been. And I think this was in third year high school, and I didn't have a lesson. And the teacher asked me why, and I said, well, I didn't have time. And she said, Herbert Armstrong, how many hours are there in a day? Well, I said, 24 hours in a day. Well, how many of those hours do you have? You know, I was sort of chagrined and floored and embarrassed. I have all 24 of them. She says, you just didn't spend those hours in the right way. That's all was wrong with you. Well, sometimes that is the case. But after my original Bible study that resulted in my conversion, I was so overwhelmingly interested in the Bible and the new knowledge that God was opening to me that, well, I thought I was giving time to my two sons as they came along, and also to the daughters who were 10 years older than they were. But I know that I wasn't giving them anywhere near the time that I should. I was thinking about adults and about the things, and you can't do everything all at once.
That's from that 1979 message there, a very humble admission coming from Mr. Armstrong about his early years in the ministry when he wasn't giving enough time to his own children, making the time for his own children. And yet when he was giving this particular message, he's 87 years old at the time, I believe, old enough to be a great-grandfather, talking to the youths of the church. I mean, he was focused on the young people. By this point, he was focused on them, giving them new knowledge. I mean, here the church had been around for nearly 5 decades. And Mr. Armstrong is coming to fully realize the importance of reaching the youth. It's so easy to just kind of brush this responsibility aside. In favor, I'm talking to you adults, to brush it aside in favor of, well, I got to dig into the Bible. I've got to learn the Bible. Or I've got to speak with or hang around other adults. I've got to spend time with those that are my age. Because after all, I mean, these young ones, they don't understand the vision like I do. That's the wrong way to think. That's not the way Mr. Armstrong was thinking in 1979. He was trying to help those 13 and 14-year-old young people to understand the God family vision. He understood and knew that Satan is an educator, that Satan doesn't neglect those youths, that Satan is bombarding them with every kind of wrong attitude or impulse. Ephesians 2:2 brings that out. He's the prince of the power of the air. Satan is. He's the prince of the power of the air. And that verse says that the spirit is now working in the children of disobedience. In Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong said that we're each human being is automatically tuned to Satan's wavelength. He said that it's like Satan surcharged the air of this earth with his attitude of vanity and selfishness. And so what do we do to counteract that? Well, it says in that same passage, I mean, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, but you've come out. You've come out of that. Let me just play you one more quote from that 79 message. This is clip 5.
The children who are in the church of God are in a separate category, and they are not cut off from God, and it means that the parents can, if they will. If they do, they can counteract what Satan is doing. And just like the Spirit of God in Jesus counteracted it so that Jesus never committed a sin, parents can teach their children in such a way and keep so close to them that they can more than outmatch Satan and all that Satan is doing.
That's quite a statement, particularly when you think of the power that Satan has. And yet, if we will, as parents, if we do what we're supposed to do, we can counteract what Satan is doing. We can bring our children up in the way that they should go. I keep paraphrasing that proverb, I think from Proverbs 22. There's another proverb that says if the child's left to himself, he brings his mother to shame. I mean, if you neglect them, if you don't teach them God's way, if you don't teach them how to pray or how to study their Bibles or how to support God's work, if you don't prepare them for the college, for all this material, this truth, this understanding, well, they'll end up walking away from this. Now, we all have to work out our own salvation. In the end, we all have a personal responsibility. You young people listening to this have a personal responsibility in this as well. It's not just all on the parents. You can't leave the church and then blame the parents. But the parents' role is crucial. Mr. Armstrong said in 1979, a believing converted parent places his or her children in a special category. We've talked about that already. They're set apart. They're consecrated. They're holy. He said, you may teach them about Christ because of this, about the things of the Bible. And then he says, their chances of being converted when sufficiently mature are multiplied. I mean, we can significantly increase their chances of conversion by doing our part. By doing our part when they're young. This is a profound truth. New knowledge that he was giving to these young people back in 79 about the world being cut off, about Satan's broadcast, and about how that we can counteract that as parents. In another sermon, this is from 1981, Mr. Armstrong brought out some of these same points. This is clip two.
Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. God has drawn every one of you. He chose you or you wouldn't be here. If indeed the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, as we would assume is true. But you're children. And remember this, many parents today are neglecting their children, especially during the first 6 years of their lives until they're old enough to go to school, send them off and let the teachers begin to teach them. But let me tell you, Satan is not neglecting your children. He goes to work on them when they're, well, a few days old. By the time they're 7, 8, 9 months old, they already have been infused with the spirit of selfishness. Put two little babies about 9 months old down on a carpet together and one toy and watch them fight for it. Satan isn't neglecting your children, are you? Too many of you neglect your little children. You think you don't need to teach them anything. But Satan is getting into their little minds as fast as their minds develop. And he got indeed into all of your minds and mine as we were developing. And we've had a hard time, and it has taken a long time for us to repent of that and to come back and to begin to get a lot of what Satan injected into us out of us and let God's Spirit inject a lot of the love of God and the peace of God into us.
That's from a message in October of 1981. Our children, need to be brought up in the way that they should go, and that requires us as parents to recognize our responsibility and the fact that these young people in our homes, they have this deep and gnawing soul hunger that has to be fed. We have to feed them. They want acceptance. They want to feel like they belong. And some of that's, it's internal. It's there from the beginning because God made us to need the Holy Spirit to fill the void. That's the most powerful, force in the universe. And what a tragedy when a young person will turn and walk away from that and from this vision and to go and try to fill that void with all kinds of worldliness. Mr. Armstrong said in 1984 that there's no part of this work that's more important than the work with the youth. There's nothing as important as this. This is the most important group that we can reach. That's why so many resources are put toward it. Because this is how you grow the work. This is how you grow this God family. I was mentioning that to Sam after his wedding a few days ago. He's getting married to another AC graduate and going to his wedding there, just sitting in the back row. I saw all these other former graduates of Armstrong College, and they were sitting near the back because they had little ones with them. Children, youths. Little ones that can hopefully go through the academy in the future, and then the college after that, and then get married in the church, and then have children of their own. We have to start young. Mr. Armstrong said in that same message that I just quoted there, I mean, these are the leaders of tomorrow. And he said, even if you look in the world today, if you see a really accomplished musician, let's say, well, chances are that musician took up that skill or started to learn it when he was 6, 7, 8 years old. There's so many things that you can do really well later in life if you start early enough. Now, I don't say this to make someone who's now in middle age or late in life to just feel like, you know, they missed out on everything. I mean, you read the email along with me at the start of this program. It's never, you're never too old to learn. And you can come in and see the family vision up close and personal and even as that listener said, and be corrected by it because you've made mistakes in your life. But wherever you come along or whenever you come along into this, if God opens your mind to the truth, look at how much you can learn and understand and know and even do. If you just have a hunger for righteousness, as Jesus said, if you just have an ambition for godly things. But what an advantage. Still, though, what an advantage if we can get those 5, 6, and 7-year-olds off to a right start. All of that training, all of that understanding, all of that teaching. And then they come along to the college at 18, and I mean, they are prepared. They're not perfect, but they're ready. They're ready for more advanced training. Mr. Armstrong said, this is from a coworker letter, 1984, I want to say more about these summer youth camps and the entire youth program. I want you to realize what an important part of God's work this is. He said, our great commission is to teach all nations, teach Christ's gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the family of God into which God's church shall be born. God himself is a family, the God family. These are children of members of God's church. They have access to Christ. God's tithe money. Listen to this. God's tithe money, which you pay, brethren, goes primarily for preaching and teaching the gospel. And then he makes this statement at the end, of all those that we can reach, these youths, of those already in the church, are by far the most important. He says, I feel you never realized that before. Maybe there were those in 1984 that thought, well, you know, it's an awful lot of money to put into these programs, these youth camps, these colleges, these facilities, these youth publications. But you can see why Mr. Armstrong put so much attention on it. He said, of all those that we can reach in proclaiming this gospel message to the whole world, of all the groups we can reach, it's the children of those already in the church. That's the most important group. And you can see why. If you have the God family vision, you can see why. God is building a family. God is building something. God is a family. God's reproducing himself. It says in Psalm 127, we'll just conclude over here. Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. Unless God is doing the building, well, it's just going to be a vain exercise. But if God builds it, let me tell you, that's something special. That is something special. What a blessing, what a benefit to letting God build through you. In another article, this is 1980, Mr. Armstrong said, if you will let God have his way in your life, then you will have begun to learn how to let him fight your battles, solve your problems, and deliver you from so many troubles that you're suffering. Let God have his way. Let God build through you. Let God teach you. Let God teach your children through you. Here in this same psalm, verse 3, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the eternal, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are the inheritance. Children, they are the gift or the blessing that comes from God. They're the dynasty. In the old child-rearing booklet, this was from back in the 1960s. It says early on in the pages of that booklet, one of the greatest blessings God ever promised some of his patriarchs was the blessing of children. Children. Abraham, by faith, waited many years for a son. All of the promises which God gave to ancient Israel had to do with the begettal of healthy children. It all revolved around family. Well, finishing off here, verse 4 says, as arrows, this is again, children are an heritage, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Verse 4 of Psalm 127 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Happy is the man who has a lot of them. The same child-rearing booklet, it says, children are precious, priceless gifts from Almighty God to any parents. And then it says here, what a pity that more parents today do not understand the real miracle of childbirth and give God thanks for it. It says, finally, a child is the sweetest, most lovely and beautiful, altogether most exciting and completely satisfying thing that can happen to a young married couple who are truly in love. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget about the special assignment that I mentioned there at the start of the program. Email us, yes, email us, but email us about your youth camp experiences. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.